Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and especially to our espresso level sponsors, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and for hosting our site, and to Expander Digital for both their sponsorship and providing SEO services to us. Now enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the next edition of the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. I get to talk to old friends. I get to talk to new friends. I get to talk to people who didn't know they were going to be my friends when we first met. And it's just a blast. It's interesting because over this past weekend, I am going to introduce my guest momentarily, but over the past weekend, I spoke at WordCamp Rochester, which is my hometown, and the WordCamp that I originated. So that was exciting for me. And I talked to people there who I had always felt like were kind of WordPress celebrities, if you will, like the people who, you know, are further ahead than you, whose names might have a little more recognition than you do, that kind of thing. And so that was kind of exciting. Which then, when I looked at my calendar and said, I am going to be speaking today with Brent Kobayashi. Hello, Brent. How are you?
Hello. I'm very good. Thank you.
So this is my story of how I know you. Is when I first started my freelance business, which, of course, I don't have anymore because I do work for Give. But when I started the freelance business, I went to WordCamp Buffalo. And I was like deer in the headlights, like the little, you know, country girl that got off on Times Square and was like, well, golly, right? And so I was kind of, it was a small camp, which was good because I was kind of in a culture shock there. But I was like so bit by the bug. Like, I have got to learn more and I've got to talk to more people in this industry. And somebody said, well, you know, WordCamp Toronto is coming up very soon. I was like, huh. Sign me up. So I signed up for work to go. I wasn't volunteering. I wasn't speaking, none of that yet. Signed up to go to WordCamp Toronto. I drove myself up there, which, by the way, I hate bridges. And if you hate bridges, right, driving from Rochester to Toronto, not your friend. But I drove myself up there, checked into a hotel that I don't even know how far it was. I think it was a 20-minute drive from the college where you all had it that year. And so I'm kind of all by myself and I'm looking around and like, so the people in charge, you, I think, were the lead organizer that year.
Yeah.
And so in my opinion and in my esteem and in my entire WordPress knowledge at that point, you were WordPress royalty to me.
Okay.
So fast forward a few years, I'm speaking at WordCamp Toronto. You are at WordCamp Toronto. We hung out for like half a day, had lunch together and everything. And I went home and I was like, well, I've moved up in the world because I just spent half a day with Brent Kobayashi. So welcome to my podcast. This is exciting when these kinds of things happen for me. And I am really excited to call you my friend now because we have known each other and talked to each other and, you know, message each other and that kind of stuff.
So welcome to
WP Coffee Talk. Thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Thank you, Michelle. Yes, you're friends with royalty, celebrity. That's awesome. I think that's what I love about WordPress. It's a small community, so it's perhaps easier to rise. You show up. Okay, so let me tell you a bit about myself. So I'm a father to two. I have an 18-year-old and a 21-year-old, and I'm a husband to one. We've been married for 25 years. No, we've been married for 20 years and together for 25. I'm an entrepreneur. I own a marketing agency here in Toronto, and we've been doing this for, actually it's coming on 25 years as well. With a super, super strong focus on raising the world through supporting nonprofits. So we really enjoy that work. We're not completely dedicated to, solely dedicated to that, but that's our a really strong focus for us. And I'm also a trained facilitator. And I actually facilitate a couple, I guess you'll call them self-development programs, including one that focuses on money, but not the invest 5% or whatever that is, but on the more emotional relationship and belief system around money. And so that's, in some cases, you might consider that a hobby. Although it gets a lot of my emotional attention while I'm not running the business. The business is like we've got 7 people here full time. So, you know, a decent size agency.
Nice. And what's the name of your agency?
Kobayashi Zeitgeist. Was Kobayashi and it was Zeitgeist, and we knew each other for a long time, and now we brought them together 3 years ago.
Fantastic. Well, I always ask people on the show to show me your mug and tell me what's in it. So let me see what you got.
All right. So this is my mug.
Online friendly. I can't see.
Online friendly. Yeah. Yeah, with a little ladybug, little 8-bit ladybug. You want the story behind this?
Yeah, give me the story. I could tell it's empty because the way you were just winging it around. So.
My wife absolutely hates when people are drinking in movies because she's like, empty cup, empty cup, empty cup.
I do the same thing. I like your wife already.
Yeah. It's not empty. It's not empty. It's got hopes and dreams, love and tears.
Good answer from a marketing person.
Yeah. So this cup actually is super special to me because it comes from the days when before Zeitgeist, not that the merger with Zeitgeist wasn't special, but before Zeitgeist, when I had a real clear sense of our brand and our vision and our purpose and everything, and also was able to express that brand and vision and everything with my what turned into possibly a really ridiculous fetish with ladybugs. Okay. So like I have I don't get to express this as much anymore, but you might have seen me with, all of this kind of stuff.
Alrighty then.
And
for anybody who's listening and not watching the YouTube channel, he looks ridiculous right now.
All my ladybug gear with antenna and ladybug glasses and all that stuff. Right. This is how I attended WordCamps. It was actually possibly the best brand because I stood out, right?
Absolutely.
I was like the only ladybug. What's the term for people that like to dress like animals?
Cosplayer?
I don't know. Oh,
furry?
Furry. I was the only ladybug furry at WordCamps.
And it's not like you're short either. How tall are you?
6'2".
So when you're 6'2" and you put on 8-inch antenna,
you
very, very quickly stand out in a crowd, I should say, yes.
So when we first met, I would have been wearing some of this gear.
I do recall that now, yes.
Yeah. And I had my entire ladybug, my van painted. It was the best thing in the world. So now we're less small business, right? And so this whole persona of mine is now just in the closet. It's my super, super secret persona.
It's your alter ego.
Yeah, it's my alter ego.
Well,
so that's where the tears come from because, I'm a little bit sad about that. It was a really special time. And when we got into being a bigger agency, doing bigger stuff, we actually did something that a lot of agencies do. And I think that is you quiet your brand. Mm-hmm. You quiet your personality. I think it's a mistake. It's one I've been sort of struggling with mentally. How do I make this shift? And then you start maybe sitting back behind your work. Mm-hmm. And we do great work, but everybody does great work. So who are you? So that's been one of my struggles for the past 3 years as an agency.
Well, here's a little known fact about me. I am allergic to ladybug bites.
You are.
I'm one of like 10% of the population that actually is allergic to ladybug bites. It's very interesting.
An entire 10% is allergic to ladybug bite.
That's what I read.
10%.
Yeah.
One out of 10 people. One out of 10 people were freaking out when they had seen me walk down the street.
Well, a lot of people don't know they're allergic to ladybugs.
Ah, okay.
Because you don't expect them to bite you.
Right.
And you're not usually in a swarm of ladybugs where it's something that actually happens.
Okay, which is why nobody freaked out when I bit them. Okay, gotcha.
That's not why. But okay. Yes. Well, let me show you my new mug.
Okay,
I don't
very
often have a new mug on the show. So this is my new mug.
Ooh, owl. It's
an owl. She's a cute little owl. And there's no special story except that I was at Walmart and I saw it. I liked it. I wanted it. I bought it. was on clearance. That was a good thing. So I think I spent $2 on my ladybug, on my ladybug, on my owl mug. You got me saying it. And I'm just drinking tea this evening. So
brilliant.
I love it. That's awesome. These are the stories that make podcasting fun, right?
Yeah.
If it was all just technical talk, then I'd be bored. And if I'm bored, then everybody else can be bored too.
Nothing's not happening.
Nothing. That's right.
Yes. Good.
So tell us how you got started using WordPress.
Okay. So I think it was 7 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that. And so WordPress was on my radar for a good year. And essentially, I fought with my team. I kept on saying, hey, we should do this WordPress thing. You know, clients can update their own content, and maybe it'll be templated, and we can do stuff faster. We can create a page by clicking a couple, that kind of thing, right? And my team absolutely was just like, no, it's less efficient. It's going to be harder. We could it was a battle. And so, and I tend to be a leader that wants to be liked. And so I kind of let that go for a while. And then we got this gig, which was for a larger website. I think we got like 10 grand for it at the time, right? And so I said, we're doing it on this one. There's no question. This is what we're doing. We're doing WordPress. And so we did this thing. And I think as far as our billable time, which was much lower back then, we probably spent like 20, 25 grand because we didn't understand it. Right. And I remember we did all of this. We did all the things in widgets. Everything we did was a widget. It was at the bottom of the page and the side of the page and the top of the page. And we wanted this thing and the menus were everything. We had like 100 widgets on this thing. Right. And when we wouldn't do it right, right, we would lose widgets. Like we would lose content because there's no nothing. It was unbelievable. And so.
Was this early Studio Press? I mean, was it early Genesis? Because it sounds
no,
like
it wasn't
Genesis.
Studio okay. Press or Genesis. Just pure. It was. I think we made this decision early on that we would always work off of WordPress. It was 2011, but eight okay. years. I don't think it was 20. It was WordPress 2011. So we'd always work off of that WordPress 2011 as our core base theme, and then we would develop on top of that our own whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so it was a painful burst, but it was a good one. It was actually, and then shortly thereafter that we actually got our like a huge gig, like it was 20K or something like that. And it was because our logo was on a WordCamp Toronto 2011. Didn't have a link to us, didn't have anything. And the guy had to hunt us down to find out, do you guys do WordPress? I saw your logo on this thing. And then that's when it really, the team got up to speed because it was a complicated website.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was perhaps a little bit of a difficult birth. And it took me a while to convince my team to become pregnant with WordPress, but we did it.
That's awesome. I'm sitting here thinking, I wonder what SEO is like off of only widgets.
Oh my gosh. No.
Let's not go there.
Oh, geez. Actually, my brain's starting to hurt a little right now.
Well, this is a good segue into my next question, which is, what do you think we don't focus enough attention on in our current websites? And I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about in general across the web, right? That would make websites, especially WordPress websites, stronger and better. Specifically for the end user, for the site visitor.
Right. So I feel like, and this actually came out of getting together with Zeitgeist, there's a process at the beginning of measuring before you start chopping things up, right? Which I think is missed. And it can feel like a big process, like you should do that for big websites, but you can really get it down to like just a couple hours, 2 or 3 hours. And it is really saying, okay, we call it usage modeling workshop, which sounds big, but it is really just saying, what are your business objectives? Straight up, your business objectives. Rank them. right? If you really want to get into a little bit, rank them with percentages, right? So you got five business objectives and one's worth 50%, one's worth 5%. Right? Just really understand that. You don't necessarily have to bring it into a big algorithm or something, but really understand this one's the big one, this one's the little one. Not this one's first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Right. Our brain will then equivalate all of those. Mm-hmm. And then say, who are your users? And really understand them and then rank them. Same thing. Mm-hmm. This one's worth a whole lot. This one's worth very, you know, and include your internal staff, right? Whoever has to administer the website. And again, they might be bigger or littler, but they're on there. Then start talking about what your website wants to do. And everything that your website wants to do, you put them against to say, does it meet these, which objectives does they meet and which users do they match? And it doesn't have to be a big thing. Like for some of the bigger websites, we have this huge grid and Excel and calculations and all that kind of stuff. But just think about those things, because you should always be measuring against this when you're building your website, because then it takes opinion, yours and your developers and the rest of your team and the company and head honchos or whatever, kind of out of the equation. Mm-hmm. Or it makes them, their opinion just part of the equation, but a little bit more subservient.
Right.
I don't know if that's really the term I want to use, to the equation of what are we actually trying to do, mm-hmm. and what do we want people to do. And so I would say that's missing, mm-hmm. because what I think usually happens is we get a resemblance of pretty,
yes,
as the measurement of success. And it's not. It's what business objectives are you meeting and who are you communicating with? That's how you get those business objectives met. And that's it. At the end of the day, I don't care how pretty your website is. That's mm-hmm. what you're trying to do.
And when people argue against that, I say, what do you think is one of the most successful websites in the business?
Amazon.com. Yes.
Neither Craigslist nor Amazon.com are pretty websites.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're utilitarian. But they're easy to navigate. You know exactly what to do when you get there. There's no question about it. And they make use easy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, Amazon.com is ridiculously focused. Craigslist is perhaps a little bit pedantic about its simplicity. But yeah, correct. You're right. Amazon.com, they were fine and they were fine and they were fine. Yeah. They have that objective and users solely in their sight.
And by the way, they have the best 404 pages.
Oh, I haven't looked at them.
My favorite thing to do when I have a few minutes of downtime is to hack a 404 on any website. And I'm starting a business with another Canadian, actually, 404play.com. Hopefully by the time this episode airs, it will be out there, where we design 404 pages for your business. Because if you build a 404 page right, you connect with your users in a way that you wouldn't otherwise.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to be a creative consultant, like for free. Yeah. Okay. I'm not actually joking here.
I believe it.
Okay. So the rest of the world is going to hear this and they're going to say, okay, so you give me the whatever, and I want to be part of that brainstorming team of the 404 pages because I love it.
You can start by hacking the 404 on WP Coffee Talk, and you'll see the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Okay, brilliant. I will do
that. I'll send you a list of some of the ones I've done recently. But anyway, that's a lot of fun, because if you think about the entire site, then you connect with your users, no matter where they end up, even places they don't expect to be.
Mm.
So
love it.
Yeah, it's great. Well, what's something you wish you had known when you first started using WordPress that you have since learned, you know, maybe other than the fact that it shouldn't all be built in widgets?
100% the importance of ongoing maintenance. Mm,
yes, absolutely.
How much we've contributed to the sites that are out there that are orphaned and old and either hacked or I don't think many of them are hacked, but primed. Like, so in other words, yeah. The idea that, you know what? So two things, actually, not just upgrade maintenance, because that's, of course, a security thing, and that's 100% needs to happen. And I wish I had had those conversations at the beginning with our clients. So it's expected, it's a cost, or it's a costs either time, their time or whatever, like train them, educate them, you go do this, whatever it is, right? Just go click the buttons, set the backup software on your own site, you do it, you don't need us, right? And also from an agency perspective, this concept of ongoing engagement and development for the client. Again, going back to those business objectives, what does that look like? So way too many set it and forget it sites that have happened in the past. Way too many.
I had somebody say to me the other day that they thought about the fact that having an old website out there might just be bad for their business, even if they no longer had that business, somehow make its way back to them. But it never occurred to them that they could turn that. If a site like that gets hacked, you might not be able to tell by looking at it. Mm-hmm. So for example, I had a site get hacked once and it was sending out spam email like crazy, but you wouldn't know that unless your server company says, hey, by the way, we just had to shut you down because. So you want to be careful about those things for sure. Absolutely. And you are the first person in over 60 guests to say that. So thank you.
What?
I know.
Okay.
Everybody has different ideas and they're all good ideas, but you're the first person to say that one. So I appreciate it.
Listen, hacked websites change elections now, right? So.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. At least they're a target for changing elections. So I've actually been communicating with our clients now that the value of a hacked website is going up. As you go from, you know, somebody wants to play around, to somebody wants to change it, to somebody wants to forward it to adult entertainment so they can get a little ad revenue, to somebody who wants to shift the world's geopolitical spectrum. It's like, holy cow, state actors are interested in your plumbing website.
Absolutely.
Really? So,
it's
okay.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Let's take care of this.
And you made me think of something else when you said political websites and going back to that 404, if I can just digress for a moment, it's my show, so I can. at the last presidential election here in the States, if you'd hacked a 404 page, which of course I did, for both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton's 404 page was awesome. It had two things going for it. On the right-hand side, about two-thirds of the page, was an animated GIF of her trying to get on the subway with her slide card. And if you've ever used a slide card on the subway, they don't always work right. So you slide it through, you try to walk through, the stylus doesn't turn, and you kind of bounce back off of it. And that's what happened to her in that particular moment. And so she, or her team, of course, used that image as, oops, that's not what you want to see. That's what we didn't expect. And that's what a 404 page feels like, right? Like, oops. And on the left-hand side, it says, we didn't expect for you to be here either, but perhaps you were looking to make a donation. Perhaps you were looking to volunteer. Perhaps you were looking for the homepage.
Nice.
Similarly, had you gone to Donald Trump's 404 page, it was 404 page not found.
That's it.
That was it. So that was another lesson to me. And like, I got to do something with these 404s. I can't let a site go out there without a nice, fun, or appropriate. They're not always fun and they're not always funny, but they're always appropriate. I always say I wouldn't put humor on a funeral home website, for example. But
the funny thing is, I am looking for the funeral home that would put humor on it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? You know, when you talk about... Yeah, when we're talking about ladybugs and brand and all that kind of stuff, that's the number one thing I believe in is stand out, because otherwise you're the same.
Right. But if that's not your branding, then that should not be your 404 page either.
I'd agree with that one. Yeah. I actually want to start a funeral home where the brand is, I don't know, you've reached the end.
We don't use embalming fluid. We use strawberry wine.
Oh, good stuff. Yes. Yes. Behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Little photos, a little animated GIF behind the scenes. Whoops.
We send your loved one off really happy. Full of wine. Okay. I've really taken this way far afield. Next question.
Okay. Go on. Yep.
I know you've been to a lot of WordCamps. You've done a lot of meetups, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When you think back over the WordCamps, the meetups, the other WordPress type events that you've been part of, is there a moment or an event that was kind of pivotal to you in how you approach things, or you know, how you were part of the community, et cetera? And what was it?
So probably my first WordCamp, which was WordCamp Montreal, I think 2012. And like all those early ones, 2012, 2013, here in Toronto, I think what struck me the most was probably what was going on Twitter and the hallway and the after party, because I found myself immersed with so many people who I really enjoyed connecting with and going back and forth with and learning something, and just the input on the little things, and you just sort of felt your brain, I would say your brain and your heart, because there's a lot of community, just filling up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so that was huge for me. So there's that. And also the other thing, and I really, really super encourage everybody to do this, is when you go to a WordCamp, go to the most complicated high-end developer talk there, even if you're a complete newbie, and almost sit back. This is what I like to do, at least. You know, your mileage may vary depending on what. And I really enjoyed sitting back and not understanding almost 99.99999% of what was being said, and just letting it flow over me. And every now and then I would catch something, and to the chagrin of my team, I would go back, "Hey, have you guys heard about this or that? Or what about if we use PHP Storm or whatever it was," right? And, but I just kind of, it's almost like listening to physics lectures on YouTube, right? It just felt so much like people were willing to share this big thing. And then when you kind of understood, kind of started to understand the shape of things roughly, I just felt like, huh, this is something that I've expanded myself. Yeah. I don't know. I really, really just dug it. I have more. I've like there's so many good moments. Yeah. I think perhaps the most that I loved when I was an organizer for a bunch of WordCamps was this view of this cross connection between people who are really doing this for a living and really deep into the technical, and somebody completely brand new saying, "I don't think I belong here," and being able to say to them, "You absolutely do. How would you like to speak with this person? They contribute to the core of WordPress, and they'd be happy to help you with figuring out how to click publish," mm-hmm. "or set a date on a post, or any of that kind of stuff." Mm-hmm. That's the way this works here.
Let me connect you to WordPress royalty.
Yeah, that's right. And so, Michelle, yeah, because, you know, and it actually goes back to, I remember I was at a VIP event, and I was sitting there, and I was talking with Matt Mullenweg, and he was just chatting. I was like, holy cow, this guy's, I don't know how many, there's like 200 people in Automattic at the time. And we're just sitting there chatting, and he was talking about, yeah, going to the support forums. That's kind of how I started. Just help one person, because you'll know something that they don't know. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just to show up and be somebody that shows up, mm-hmm. you're contributing. So yep. that was huge. That feeling of community was probably the biggest one for me.
We were all that person at one point.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Yeah.
And we all had that imposter syndrome at some point, and mm-hmm. felt like we were in the wrong seat, in the wrong place. And it's fun to watch other people get over that and become part of the community as well.
I never thought that. I always knew I was royalty. No, I'm kidding.
I was the pauper in the Prince and the Pauper story.
No, yeah.
I had no idea.
There were so many people might know my name. Wow. Yeah. No, the funny thing is, actually, the honest truth is, I actually never really felt, maybe chatting with Matt Mullenweg, I was like, holy crap, this is pretty cool. But the funny thing was, everybody was so welcoming.
Yeah.
That I was like, holy cow, I can actually contribute.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually contribute to this, regardless of my level of skills.
And my skill level has always been on the design side. I don't know PHP. I can put together a site very nicely using tools other people have so lovingly built. But I've done what you said. I've sat in a command line interface talk.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, I should be able to understand that. Whoa, everything was right over my head. Hats off to Sean Hooper, because he understands and can teach that stuff like nobody's business.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah, but the CLI stuff, I'm like, all right, it exists. I can talk about it. I can't do it, but I can talk about it. And if I really wanted to, I could learn it.
You know, that is actually one of those ones. And that's one of my most memorable ones, is going WPCLI. Mm-hmm. Sean Hooper. Holy cow. Hey, guys, have you heard of WPCLI? Are we using that? Because you know what you do?
And they look at you like, did you just fall off the turnip truck?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. We're doing this next, right?
So funny.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the business itself. So you're working with nonprofits. I know a couple of weeks ago, I had the pleasure of digitally presenting to your group there over a lunch hour, I think, or two. About nonprofit information and that. So what percentage of your company do you dealing with nonprofits? What do you do building websites? What other kind of marketing do you do? Just give us kind of a, you know, nutshell version.
Yeah, for sure. So we got a few things going on with nonprofits. So we have a regular monthly meetup. We have a podcast that's struggling to get off the ground a little bit. So it's, other things are taking my attention. Then in terms of percentage of business, that's an interesting question. I say it could be as low as 30% to up to 50% of revenue this past year. However, it's a concentration, right? So if you want to talk about a little bit earlier, what I was talking about brand, it's something I believe so strongly in is stand for something, especially in our creative agency world. Oh my gosh, we all are so comfortable with taking every single gig and saying, we'll do that for you to everybody, or do that to you. We'll do that for you and to you sometimes with the online stuff, whether you like it or not, whether we realize it or not. And so it's taken a while for me to figure out really what we stand for and what we want to be known for, niche you can call it, and to start ramping that up. Even though it's been kind of staring at us in the face, we've always gone through all of the same questions. Oh, maybe not-for-profits don't have much money, even though a lot of ours do have bigger sites. Oh, if we say we're not-for-profits, then will the corporations want to deal with, like, all that kind of stuff? And I'm just like, enough of that, okay? Yes, we might be sawing off one leg, but we'll be running fast, right? So it's something where, around I think it's probably closer to 30 or 40% of the business. But it's also something we love, right? So one of the brilliant things about working with not-for-profits is they're really clear on their mission and vision. They know what they're doing in this world, mm-hmm. right? And it's really super important that their website communicates their mission and vision and translates it into their objectives, whatever those objectives might be. It could be policy change. It could be all sorts of different things. It could even mm-hmm. be selling stuff. When you go to a business, a lot of businesses struggle with mission and vision. because a lot of people are in business because it's a way to bring home revenue. Mm-hmm. Not a problem with that. I absolutely love that. I love money. Money's wonderful. And yet me getting money usually doesn't connect with you clients wanting to buy something, right? Which is why there's all, you know, Simon Sinek's Start With Why and all that kind of stuff. However, at the end of the day, many businesses struggle with that. So it's harder actually to communicate. It's actually where I believe the sort of the thought of marketing is all lies anyways comes from. At least I've been saying it forever, is because oftentimes the shareholder, the owner's objective is, I want this to be an investment vehicle, which returns money, mm-hmm. versus I want this to be something that I'm bringing to this world, right? Or there's conflict there, right? The person says, I would love it to be something I'm bringing to this world, but first I need to make sure I'm okay. I get that as well. So when we work with small businesses, and still absolutely love it, because our objective is to get you past that, right? You know, it's kind of like, you know, there's not love is not finite. You know, love yourself so much, it starts to spill over to the rest of the world, and it's amazing. With businesses, like, okay, get enough money so that your true purpose starts to spill out, and then you can be the best, whatever it is, or excellence in what you're doing and all that kind of stuff. And you cannot be so worried about, I need this website to convert into X dollars and just shove people through the funnel, even if half of them are screaming as they're squeezed into pulp. That's by the pain of your remarketing and all that kind of stuff that we do, right? Because it's like, at the end of the day, if advertising and marketing is cheap enough, I don't care if only 0.5% of the people actually get to the end. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they happen to be the sadomasochists that are willing to somehow connect with you. And the rest of them are like, man, why did you waste my time with that stuff? Or getting so used to it, right? You get blinded. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where our passion is coming from, is because we can see very clearly the difference that we're making. And then it really translates to the difference that's happening in the world right now, which I think is just getting phenomenally good. There's so much energy being put towards, hey, let's do this better every day. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's, that's where we're at right now.
That's great. I love working with nonprofits. I work with nonprofits day in and day out, and you're right. The ones that have a clear vision and mission are the ones that are easier to help, because they know the direction that they're moving in, for sure.
Yeah. And if they don't have a clear mission and vision, they see a gap that they're trying to fill, which then can get translated into that stuff a little bit more easily.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. Fantastic. Well, let me move into my rapid fire questions. Mm. This is where I feel like James Lipton inside the actor studio. You take as much time to answer them as you'd like. The first is, what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody either building their first website or building a website for their own business?
Two or three must-have plugins.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended plugins. So right now, I would actually probably go for, we use Sucuri, and we actually use Sucuri subscription. Mm-hmm. So we've also done WordFence and WordFence free and all that kind of stuff. I probably would recommend also the subscription model for that. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm a firm believer that this just has to be part of your costing. Stop thinking about your security of your website. Just make it part of your costing. Mm-hmm. So that's one. Some sort of automated backup, real-time backup thing, whether it's Updraft, We've been playing with Infinite WP's Time Capsule. But something that's regularly backing up your site. We used to use Backup Buddy a lot. It's probably great, but for some reason, the perception in my mind is that it's a little bit less great than we thought it was at one point. A little bit, like there's almost like there's the original guard of plugins and stuff, which have been, might still be on that path because they've got their legacy going. And then maybe there's a newer group that have been coming out. So it's just a perception, you know, anybody can shout at me through the ether and I won't hear you, but that's okay. You can shout. In like Vault Press, you know, those sorts of things. Just to make that kind of stuff easier. A third one. Yeah, I'm not sure I would recommend it. I don't know what I would recommend other than those two kind of utility plugins. Obviously, we use Yoast. I know some people got a little bit upset with Yoast a while ago and stopped using them. But I would say something along those lines. Yoast is comfortable and I think the challenges they had at one point with images have been sorted through.
What do you use for forms? Do you use any particular plugins?
Formidable. Yeah.
Okay.
Formidable. I'd say the team likes Formidable over something like Gravity Forms. It's a little bit lighter weight. I think it's kind of evolved over the time. We loved it at the point where we had just pure dev licenses and all this. I loved the pricing model from in the past a little bit more than it is now. We've really enjoyed it. It has maybe less extra plugins and weight than Gravity Forms. I know one of our senior devs loves Gravity Forms. Senior dev contractors loves Gravity Forms. But internally we use Formidable.
Very good.
Yeah.
Have you at any point in your WordPress journey had a mentor, whether it was an official capacity or not, or just somebody that you kind of looked up to as a role model in the community? Who was it?
So I'm like the crappiest mentee, like really literally from a business, I'll just go from a business perspective. I struggled with the concept of a mentor for so long. And it mostly has to do with that thing I was talking about earlier about being liked. So I would be a great mentee at the beginning and then kind of start backing off as I was not feeling the connection. And it was really me rationalizing, like, I'm not doing my stuff, so I don't want to talk with you. Kind of like thing, right?
I get it.
So
yeah.
It took me a while, and I've only really been successful at being a mentee in the last couple of years. So I have a business mentor who's been phenomenal with my business, helped me clear out a couple hundred thousand dollars in debt, which was amazing.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. In the WordPress community, there's a couple people that really shone and still shine for me. Tom Auger, who were co-organizers for a number of WordCamps, we clicked for a lot. Like, that was pretty amazing. We even did a show, Agency Chat, for a year. Andy McElwain, right? So he's one of the celebrities. Royalty. His sense of community is so high. Like, I just love the guy. He is a big, he is somebody I've definitely looked up to and really enjoyed being. And then there's the Montreal crowd who somehow have become really fond in my heart. So Brian Rothstein. Yes. Wow. I don't really love you, Brian, and I just showed my hand. Yeah, no, love Brian so much. And then of course Carl. Right?
Carl Alexander.
Carl is my drinking mentor. So Carl and I and after parties and, you know, we would have this time when he had all the tickets in Montreal and the power of the tickets, the drink tickets, right? And then he would come to Toronto and be like, now I have the power of the drink tickets. And so I don't know. I don't know if you call that mentorship. I think it was.
Kindred?
Something we were mentoring each other with. I think it was like co-mentoring. Co-mentaling? I'm not sure.
He was still controlling the tickets this year at Montreal 2019. So.
Oh, he was. Oh, I should have been there. That would have been, I would have gone just for that.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
I love his t-shirts too. I think he has one that says something about shut up liver. the next question is, who is someone you admire in the WordPress community and why? So is there somebody else that you didn't look up to as a mentor, but somebody that you admire? Or did you name them all?
I think I've named them all. Yeah, you know what? I think I would actually go back to Matt Mullenweg. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Mullenweg, actually Andrea. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her last name. Mm-hmm. Andrea Middleton. Thank you so much. Uh-huh. Her guidance with WordCamp Toronto and just seeing her facility, like there's a little bit of a challenging time. Toronto always has a bit of drama, or it seems that has had a bit of drama that time. And her guidance and thoughtfulness and actually perspective was actually one which, you know, I was like, I actually, that was pretty amazing. Her capacity to to think big picture for the community.
Yeah.
I really liked seeing that up and close. And
she's personal. A very calm leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
Now my headset thingy here is starting to beep.
I'm not hearing it.
Yeah, no. I think it's telling me it's running out of battery. Mm-hmm. So if it does conk out, then I'm going to
switch over to something else.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the next question is, what's something you want to learn in WordPress but you haven't tackled yet?
Okay. So the honest truth of that right now is I'm so busy running this business that I am leaving the nuts and bolts of WordPress behind. The one thing I would love to sort through, and I don't even know if there's a solution, is figuring out centralized management through something like ManageWP or InfiniteWP integrated with Git and version control. Because I've got a development team that's getting version control, and at the same time, we want to be able to more easily manage our plugin updates and our code updates and all that type of stuff. And the two aren't really happy with each other, because you do all your updates via InfiniteWP, and then Git starts complaining, and now you have to merge and all this kind of stuff, and we don't have a solution for that. So if there's anything that I would love to learn,
that would be it.
If there's people out there in the audience in the ether and you want to shout about this, absolutely, I will listen. No problem. So shout it very loud so I can hear it through the waves. But the internets. But yeah. Well,
one of my favorite questions is, what's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made, and what did you learn from it?
Beside widgets, all widgets. Biggest WordPress mistake. Yeah. Oh, which is, that was fun. Huh. I don't know if this is a WordPress mistake. But one of the things a lot of the audience might be familiar with WHM and cPanel as their sort of the backbone. One of the mistakes that my team made is when you're in cPanel, you might be in one cPanel and then you might go over to another cPanel and then you're kind of back to this cPanel. And if you start doing database stuff, you might not realize which cPanel you're actually registered to. I don't know if this is the case. And so, yeah, we've blown away some large e-commerce sites with that. the Margie e-commerce site, only one. I would say, yeah, be like when you're starting to play around and you're going fast, that's when you can delete your billing system. We've done that. You can, you know, I've actually even accidentally wiped the client's site clean, and it's now fresh WordPress install. It says, hello world. So I would say the biggest mistake is when the stuff is hitting the fan and it's kind of blowing back into your face and it's stinky, is to just slow down and really.
Oh, we lost you. We need a new microphone. We can't hear you. Brent, we can't hear you now. He's coming back. Are you there? Nope, can't hear you.
How's this?
That's much better.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. We lost you somewhere in there. So
where did you were?
I lost you right around. So when it gets stinky.
Yeah, when the stuff is blowing back at you, the smelly stuff, and you're going fast, just slow right down. Because I guarantee you, in 1,000 years, nobody is going to care. I would actually say in 1 year, you're not going to care. In 10 years, you're not going to look back at this time and say, darn, I wish, you know, I hadn't taken that extra hour. Right? So, yeah, just slow down when stuff is happening. You know, it really manage the client and just say, apologies, I know this is really super important. And get errors and omissions insurance. It's one of the first things I did when I was like, oh my gosh, we have e-commerce websites. Somebody's going to sue us for a lot of money.
Yeah.
They're not, and they haven't ever. And nobody's even barked about it, even with all, you know, stuff has happened. But yeah, buy errors and omissions insurance. It's a couple thousand bucks a year.
Yeah.
And it can be just a little bit of peace of mind that you just might not be changing your career quickly.
That was one of the first purchases I made when I had my freelance.
Good for you.
And omissions. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, as a freelancer.
Yeah.
Michelle, you're such a wise, wise, wise person.
I was afraid it should be like a 15% or 10% discount, and I would mistakenly hit that zero another time, make it 100% discount, and I needed to know that I wasn't going to lose my house over it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, yes, we are dealing with stuff that's, it's business has hiccups, you move on type thing, and at the same time we're also dealing with people, and you never know what they're in the middle of.
True.
And they could be in the middle of something where this just felt like it was the worst thing for them and they need to get something back.
Right.
And so, you know what, protect yourself.
Absolutely.
Secure your websites and protect your business.
Absolutely. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
My proudest WordPress moment. Huh. Yeah, I would say, I think it was WordCamp 2014. Mm-hmm. We're at Humber. My proudest WordPress moment would be, actually, my proudest WordPress moment, and this was both that and looking out in this crowd of people. I think we had like 400 people there as at Humber, and they're in this thing, and we were on the steps, and we're talking with them, and we're talking about what to do here, come to the after party, hang out in the hallway. Yes, there's curriculum and there's training and all that kind of stuff, but meet people and connect. And just that whole ecosystem, as lead organizer that year, oh my gosh, I was flying high. But my absolute proudest moment was on day two. Like, Humber, you're actually not supposed to do your own catering.
Okay.
They get upset, right? Because there's an official caterer, and we kind of knew, didn't know this, so we brought in our own stuff. And we brought in these Japanese triangle.
Those were awful.
Yeah, oh, you're one of the awful. Yes. Okay, so that was so that was my proudest moment. Okay, because you remember when I was talking about branding?
Yes.
Right? Stand for something, half the people can hate you, half the people can love you. So I kid you not, my proudest moment was when we one did that, and two, got the very clear feedback that this was the dividing line, right? This was the best, most absolutely most wonderful thing in the world. And there were a lot of those. It was almost 50-50. And oh my gosh, you stupid. Actually, they weren't. Most were not that. But, oh my gosh, this was horrible. Why did you do that to me? Right? Okay, so you're one of the horrible ones. So, thank you for actually, like, literally, Michelle, I don't know if your feedback was in there. I hope that your feedback was in there.
I'm sure it was.
It was in there. It was terrible because my heart actually expanded when I saw that feedback. I was like, I feel so good right now because so many people hated this.
But here's the funny thing. I've been to about 35 WordCamps in the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
I could not tell you any of the food from any of those WordCamps except for those darn triangle rice things.
Oh, love you so much. This is such good. You just made my month, I think. Like, last month was Croatia. This month is this conversation right now.
There you go.
Literally, I was in the most beautiful place in the world, and now I'm getting the most beautiful conversation.
That's my pleasure. Don't make me eat those again.
Oh, okay. I'm sending you cups and triangle things.
There you go. I don't even know where you got them from. They were difficult to navigate. It's like, wait, how am I supposed to open this thing? How is it supposed to work? They weren't even in English, I don't think. I think they were in Japanese or something.
I think they were symbolic. They had symbols. Yeah, the food had instructions.
Yeah, but you needed Robert Langdon to figure out that symbology.
You know, maybe we needed to do a session, like an actual breakout session.
Just send people around doing demos. Yeah. I was fine once I threw the seaweed part away, then I ate the rice and I was happy. So there you go.
That was okay.
It was okay.
It sustained you for the next few hours.
Until I could get to McDonald's. It was fine. If you weren't working in your industry where you are now with the marketing and the web and all of these things, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Oh, easy peasy right now. I would definitely be running programs. I call them transformational programs, right? Like mm-hmm. personal development, self-development, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I'm already doing some. Mainly because having been through my life was a fairly typical life, but realizing that, you know, there's stuff in the past where like, God, I hated that. And I never want to go through that again. And I wish I hadn't gone through that, mm-hmm. right? Literally, that can be a lot of, some of our past, for some it's like a lot, right? Because really crappy stuff has happened to us. And some of it, it's maybe a little bit more tempered, right? For me, my mom had cancer, my parents got split up. Not unusual in this world. And so, you know, the past can actually kind of make us unhappy. And the reason why some of these programs are transformational programs is because it actually walks you through the process of actually, I would actually say on the end of it, you know, you're actually kind of, not kind of, but actually grateful that that stuff happened.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's transformed. You're actually taking something that's a solid one thing, one way, fixed, this is it, mm-hmm. and seeing it from a different point of view, and not just seeing it intellectually, but emotionally.
A whole paradigm shift.
It's a paradigm shift, a point of view shift, mm-hmm. Whatever it is. And the results of that are that you in the present, I actually do believe, are actually able to do what you want better.
That's wonderful. Right?
And so I knew when the thing with Zeitgeist happened 3 years ago, I actually remember telling my wife and business partner at the time, I'm going to have to change. Like, I'm going to have to change mm-hmm. in order to be successful. As I mentioned, you know, I need to clear out hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt because it took a bit of time for me to change, right?
Sure.
I'm human. And it was through these things where it's just like, I actually took it as a leadership program to be able to lead. And what I found was it was actually a lot more me than perhaps tactics.
Gotcha.
You know, so it was, so that's become something that I believe in, passionate about. If anybody wants to check out some of these things, let me know. The one that I'm involved with is called Seeds Leadership, like seeds, like you plant the seeds, mm-hmm. leadership. That's what I would be doing, 100%.
That's awesome. I love it. It's great to have something that you're that passionate about. For sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And it bleeds into my business life and in my family life and everything else so nicely, too.
That's great. What's something on your bucket list?
So bucket lists, I actually have not had much of a bucket list. I knew there were certain things that were going to happen that would probably be on people's bucket list, like jumping out of an airplane. Right. But the reason why that was in my future was because of a long story that has to do with my daughter and scary things and me choosing not to do those scary things with my young daughter.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then a year later saying, okay, I'll do it with you. And she was already too scared. So I promised myself that if my son wanted to do scary things, I would do it with him because I failed my daughter. Bad dad, right? And so my son is the one that says, okay, let's walk on top of the CN Tower. Let's, you know, do this thing. Hey, Dad, we're going to go skydiving. I'm like, no, yes, okay, bungee jumping, whatever it is, I'll do. So, however, I'd have to say that recently, for some reason, this trip that I mentioned, I went to in Croatia, I've actually connected with travel in a way that I did not ever have before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole other story behind that. As I've grown into emotional maturity. And that means that, and I don't know where the travel is, but getting out there, connecting with people, that's on my bucket list. Oh, and by the way, I had the most amazing, amazing experience in a car crashing in Croatia, like actually luckily at the part where you don't fall into the ocean, it could have been like wow. On the side of the road through trees, like this.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what ensued from that, we ended up, you know, in this policeman's, like, where he lived in a village with a view, with a 90-year-old grandmother, and all of them celebrating us, and with homemade wines and cheeses and pastries, and just sitting there going like, this is really happening, looking at the mountains and the ocean and all this kind of stuff. And so I've actually committed to crashing a car in every country.
Just do it safely.
That's just to connect with the local constabulary people.
There you go.
And seeing if they'll invite me to their home.
Well, that's an interesting way to go about that.
yeah, it worked.
It did.
You know, and of one, like I've proven that it works once.
Well, you know, I mean, the best way to do it is to continue to do it and then
see what happens.
Figure out how many, what percentage of that is successful.
Yes.
Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about.
Show or tell you about a hidden talent. Ah. Oh, jeez. A hidden talent. Huh.
I did send you these questions in advance. You do remember
did
that.
Did you send me this one?
Yes.
It's not on your page.
Yes, it is.
It is?
They're all there, yes.
Oh, I stopped at what's your favorite WordCamp meetup talk? Okay, well, I dance. I love to dance.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you want me to show you?
If you'd like to. Let's see it.
Okay.
Let's see it.
Man. Okay. Okay. I've got to get a song.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Cool thing, Sonic Youth. Man. Okay. This is going to be super interesting.
This is the kind of thing that will make people happy, or your children will be like, oh my God, my dad danced on TV.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, YouTube.
Do we even have any sound here? Okay, hold on a second.
I'm holding.
Yep, please hold. where is our sound? Come on. You can do this. And speakers are... All right.
I hear it.
And you can hear this?
Yeah, we can hear it.
All right.
I love it.
This is my chaos dance. There you go. Okay, have you had enough?
I believe so. I believe this is where I say don't quit your day job.
Oh, come on. Couldn't you feel the essence of...
I could, but if you kept that up for 8 hours, you'd have a headache like you wouldn't believe.
That's true. Yeah. My head's kind of hurting now. I will need adjustments.
Well, my last question to you is, how do we find you online? Your website, your Twitter, whatever.
All right. So my website is kobayashi.ca, so that's kobayashi.ca. Super pissed I didn't buy the .com for $50 or $75. Like, that's a lot of money. Way back when. Oh, God.
Yeah, those
things. And Twitter, Brent Kobayashi, so BrentKobayashi. Same with Instagram. Facebook, just search me up. I'll connect with you. LinkedIn, I'll connect with you.
Great.
I think that's all of them. I'm on Snapchat as well. TikTok?
Yes. I do not have a TikTok account, but I might have to get one.
Yeah. I have a TikTok account. That's one of my hobbies, is I make funny giffies.
Oh, cool.
GIFs.
I'm so happy to hear you use the hard G.
Right. Sorry. Jiffies.
No. Matt Cromwell and I have this long going thing where he says it's Jiffy and I say it's Giphy, and I'm right.
Okay, well, I'll say Giphy on your podcast. I'll say Jiffy on his.
Well, he doesn't have one, so it's good. Anyway.
Tough noogies then. Tough noogies.
There you go. I love it. I asked him last year if he got any gifts for Christmas. So anyway, thank you so much for being here today. This has been fun, except my face hurts now from smiling too much. But that's a good problem to have. So
yeah.
Thank you for being on WP Coffee Talk with me. And until the next episode, we'll see you all later.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's been awesome catching up with you again.
Yes.
All right.
WP Coffee Talk with Michelle Frechette is a proud supporter of WP and Up, whose mission is to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. Visit their website at wpandup.org.